Well, it's only one chapter, 3 John, and we're going to look at verse 2 here in just a minute. It's great to be home. It's great to be here at Calvary. Good things happening. Praise God. I'm glad to find directions to the church. I bet you could find it, though. If it's your home, how many of you know if they made a detour to your home, you'd find your home? With or without those directions. You got a little smartphone, you'll figure it out. You'll be here. Amen? Praise God. All right, this is a, I want to tell you a little funny before we get into the Word. This is a children's science exam answers. These are real answers on young children's science exams. So here's one. Name the four seasons. Salt, pepper, mustard, and vinegar. Explain one of the processes by which water can be made safe to drink. Answer, flirtation. Makes water safe to drink because it removes large pollutants like grit, sand, dead sheep, and canoeists. Question, how can you delay milk turning sour? Answer, keep it in the cow. Oh man, this cracks me up. Question, what causes the tides in the ocean? Answer, the tides are a fight between the earth and the moon. All water tends to flow towards the moon because there's no water on the moon. And nature hates a vacuum. I forget where the sun comes in the fight, joins in the fight. Oh, man. Question, what's the fibula? Answer, a small lie. Oh, I just got a couple more. These are funny, aren't they? Question, what does varicose mean? Answer, nearby. Question, what does the word benign mean? Answer, benign is what you will be after you be 8. Praise God. It's good to laugh, isn't it? Praise God. I love to, you know, children, they just keep you alive. We've got 10 grandchildren and my number 9, little Ellie, she's full of Ellie-isms. And she's got this little pet chihuahua. And she was holding this pet chihuahua, and she said, Daddy, that's Abigator is her name, the little chihuahua. Did you know the Abigator has 4 armpits? Praise God. No, I didn't know that. Man, I could go on and tell you, but it's good to laugh. We need to laugh. It's good for the soul. A merry heart does good like a medicine. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." The King James says, "Even as your soul prospers." I want to talk to you today about a prosperous soul. What does it mean to have a prosperous soul? I was reading this. I'd been reading the Bible since 1976. I've been reading the Bible. How many of you think that's a good thing to do? Just read your Bible. And I've just been, I've read this verse probably over 100 times, I'm guessing, maybe 150 times. I don't know. I've read this verse. I read it. But how many of you know sometimes when you read something and all of a sudden something comes alive? And this time it came alive and I saw these words just as or even as. And I said, wait a minute. It just leapt off the page. It said, you're going to prosper. How many of you would like to prosper financially? And be in health, not just be healed, but walk in health. How many of you want to walk in health? He said, just as. Or even as. I said, wait a minute. Man, is this true? I'm going to prosper financially and I'm going to walk in health just as or even as or according to my soul prospering? Is that true? Well, why am I spending so much time trying to get well, trying to get financially blessed, when he told you right here, if your soul prospers, you're going to walk in health. If your soul prospers, you're going to walk in financial prosperity. Man, I read that and almost got mad. What I think I did. I said, Lord, how come nobody's ever taught me this? Nobody's ever told me the way to walk in consistent financial health, material prosperity, and physical health is that I would focus on my soul prospering. I said, whoa, man, first of all, I got upset because I never heard anybody teach it. Then I started to kind of get upset at God. But you know how many of you know that doesn't work? But I said, you know, Lord, if that was so important, I would have written at least 12 chapters on it. True? And this is one verse in one chapter, and there's only one principle about in the rest of this chapter about how your soul can prosper. I said, Lord, if this is so important, then why didn't you write 12 chapters on it? He said, well, I've got a book on it. And I want you to go through my word and find out what my word says that I've already written about how your soul can prosper. Because to the degree that your soul prospers, you're going to walk in financial prosperity and physical health. If this is true, I want to ask you, is this true? Well, let's read it again. Beloved, I pray, I desire that you may prosper. How many of you want to prosper in all things and be in health? How many of you want to walk in health? Okay, so he wants us to do this, right? How does it happen? Just as your soul prospers. Wow. Guys, this is huge. This is powerful. If you just stop. You know, too many times we read on because, you know, we've got our Bible reading plan we've got to finish today. But when the Holy Spirit arrests you or stops you, you need to stop and let Him and meditate. What is He saying here? He's saying His desire above all things is for you and I to prosper financially and walk in health. But it's only going to happen according to your soul prospering. And I thought, man, if this is true, let me ask you, let's take a test here. Is this true? Is this really true? Then we need to be on a passionate journey of discovering what's involved with your soul prospering, and you will not have to be worried about your financial praying and believing God for your financial well-being or your physical well-being. That's exactly what that means. And I saw it and I was repenting. I said, Lord, I've spent all this time believing you for health and believing you for prosperity. And right here you told me I don't need to. It's not that you don't need to know scriptures on that, and it's the will of God. But right here he told you not only is it the will of God, but how to get there. And that's for my soul to prosper. And you know, when I discovered this, Paul Milligan and I, Paul now is Andrew Womack's COO, and Paul was a teaching elder in my church for a long time, and he and I talked about this, and I said, you know what? We're going to put this to work in the laboratory of our church. And we're going to begin to teach on what it means for your soul to prosper. And we're going to find out if this bears the kind of fruit that it says it will here. And you know what? We discovered, we put this to work for over 10 years, probably more like 15 years from the time that I began to get this revelation. And we saw that we had healthy marriages. We had healthy people. Our members didn't get sick that often. People were financially healthy. We saw that this worked, and we saw it work in our church. And so I've just been on this passionate endeavor to discover what it means to have a prosperous soul. In fact, I'm in the midst of writing a book on this. And the next time I'm here, I may have some CD series on it. I'm not going to be able to cover all of it, but you know, you guys be good Bible students and just get in the Word. And when it says soul, anything you see that says soul, then you might look at it and think about, what does this mean? Word soul and the things around it have to do with a prosperous soul? How many of you know you are spirit, soul, and body? You're the spirit part of you is a part of you that's born again. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. Amen. Now, let me give you a verse. Genesis 1, I think it's 26. Let me look over there. Genesis 1, 26. If you want to know how things operate and function, you can go to the beginning and see how it operates and functions. Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle and all the over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, God said, let us make man in our image. Everybody say his image. His likeness. Have dominion. His image. His likeness. Have dominion. His image. His likeness, have dominion. In the beginning, God told us the very first thing he said about man, that he's created us in his image, his likeness, so we could have dominion. Listen, guys, his image is our spirit when we're born again. His likeness is our soul. When our soul comes into the likeness of our spirit that is born again, you and I will walk in dominion. Man, that'll preach. That's powerful. So what is he saying? When your soul prospers, you will walk in the dominion that I intended. If your soul doesn't, you won't. You'll be ruled over instead of ruling. Do you hear me? How many of you heard that song, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Now that song, "It's Well With My Soul," it was written after a man lost his wife. The writer of that song lost his wife and daughter at sea, and he began to sing, "It's well with my soul." Listen, material prosperity, physical health, they affect us all, but they're the fruit or byproducts of a prosperous soul. And when we go through life and go through challenges and go through losses, We've got to learn to develop a prosperous soul so we can sing, "It's well with my soul." Even though when the circumstances around you aren't going well. Amen? If it's not a good journey to be sick or broke, is it? If you're consistently having problems in your finances or your health, you need to check and see how well it is with your soul. I mean, if you're having constant, chronic, repetitive problems, can I tell you, Houston, we have a problem. But the problem is in your soul. It's not in your checkbook. It's not in your body. It starts in your soul. Are you listening to me? How well is it with your soul? How well is your mind, your will, and emotions lined up with the Word, the Spirit, and various authorities in your life? God is saying here to us that our soul must experience a good journey before our pocketbook, our business, or our body will. Moffat says, as indeed your soul is keeping well. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Proverbs 22, verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the crooked and perverse, but that he that does keep or guard his soul shall be far from them. In other words, he'll prosper and be in health. The majority of Christians' chronic problems is related to failing to keep your soul, their soul well. So many of our souls we allow to be so cluttered with unforgiveness, bitterness, judgment, offense, you know, pride, jealousy, all these things that we allow to stick to our soul, and that hinders, it creates a dam. Adam. A dam. When you're born again, you have everything that you need in your spirit. Those of you that accepted the Lord this morning, on the inside of you, your spirit man is just like Jesus. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. You look just like Jesus. You smell just like Jesus. You are just like Jesus. You're right with God. You've got the love of God on the inside of you, in your spirit man. But you also have a soul, and that soul has got to be conformed to the image that's in your spirit. And what happens is when we allow problems in our soul, you know, how many of you ever seen a dam, a beaver dam, or any other kind of dam? It stops the flow. And what happens when we allow things in our soul, it creates a log jam, a dam that stops the flow from your spirit man out here where you and I need it. Amen? And so what we're going to talk about this morning and tonight, and then if Pastor ever asks me back, I'll try to finish or try to get some more of this. And if he doesn't, I'm going to keep my soul well. Amen? I'm not going to let anybody else affect my soul. How about you? You know, you think about this verse, Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Who is he talking to? Who is he talking to? He was talking to a church. Now, Jesus, how could you be on the outside looking in? How could you be standing at the door and knocking? We've used that verse to reach the lost with, and you know, it's a stretch to do that. We know that Jesus is on the outside looking in to the lost, and he does want to come in. But he was writing this to the church. How, Jesus, could you be, when you're on the inside of us, when we're born again, how could you be on the outside looking in? Because he is in our spirit, but he's knocking on the door to our soul. And many of us have we've compartmentalized our lives and closed off doors in our soul. We don't want the Lord to go there and fix it or straighten it up. How many of you know when you confessed your sin is not when Jesus found out about it? Come on, guys. He knows. Everybody say, Jesus? Jesus. You know. No. So you might as well fling wide open the gates and the doors to that dirty laundry drawer and door and closet of your soul and let him come in. Let him clean it out. Let him sort it out. Let him get it in order so that the life of God can flow, so healing can flow, so finances can flow. So you're trying to fix everything on the outside, and if you'd let Jesus sort things out in your soul, then I'm telling you, you get your soul lined up with your spirit, and there's nothing or no one that can stop you from being blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me talk to you about just, I'll probably just hit one thing this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 28. I'm just going to begin to talk about this. And again, you be good Bible students. Go through the Bible yourselves. And that's what I did. I just started reading the Bible and finding things about my soul and found out that's where the problem is. Problem's not in my spirit. My spirit's right with God. My spirit's got the love of God. My spirit's got the grace of God. My spirit's got the faith of God. My spirit is right with God. But my soul, that's where we're messed up. And that's where the hindrance is. And then we're blaming everybody else instead of letting God sort out our souls. So I'm going to begin to talk to you about what does it mean, what constitutes a prosperous soul. And to that degree, you're going to walk in health and you're going to walk in prosperity. You know, the last time the Bible, God said anything about how long we could live, when God first spoke that, it was 120 years. So why do we settle for 70 or 80? You need to get your mind renewed and let your soul prosper. You know why you're not walking in health to 120? Because your soul is in agreement with 70 or 80. You need to take the limits off. Man, if anybody's going to live to 120, might as well be us. Get the gospel out 40 more years. Hallelujah. Now, you know, if you're ready to go before then, go. There's nothing wrong with going at 70 or 80 unless God wants you to live 120. Why do we need to agree that we're going to be sick and die and have arthritis and can't get around or anything? Man, we don't need to accept that. Hallelujah. Take the limits off. Man, Moses didn't start real good till he was 80. Man, Caleb took his mountain at 85. Praise God. We got work to do. Are you listening to me? Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking to you. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Where is it that we need rest? You need rest. If you don't find rest in your soul, you're not going to find it in your body. You don't find rest in your soul, you're going to have problems. I was sharing with this, met with this minister one time, and he was burned out. You ever felt burned out? And he was burned out, and he was like, man, my people don't appreciate me, and I'm going to take a, he'd read this book about this guy that got burned out, and so he got faith to be burned out. And he said, and in this book, you know, the guy said, he went on a 6-week sabbatical. And I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking a 6-week sabbatical, except, you know, you've only been at that church a few years. And they're probably not going to just jump up and down and be thrilled over you leaving for 6 weeks. You know, why don't you just take a couple of weeks off? Well, no, God's telling him to take 6 weeks. I said, well, you might take 6 weeks and you might be taking the whole year off. And, you know, it's like, I said, look, your problem is not going to be resolved by taking 6 weeks off. Because when you come back, if you don't find out what it is that's causing you to be in your soul to be all messed up, you're going to be right back in the same ditch. I advise you to go to them and tell them you need to take a couple of weeks off so you can sort out what's going on in your own soul. And he didn't listen to me. He took the 6 weeks and then he had a whole year. Because they didn't take to that real well. Are you listening to me? And listen, guys, you might be stressed out. You might be stretched. You might be worn out. All that, sometimes it's okay to take a little bit of time off, but what are you doing with the time off? And Jesus said here, look, if you're weighed down, if you're burdened, if you're, you know, if life has got you down, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. You know our problem? We're coming to our problem. Or we're coming to our pastor. Or we're coming to our friends. And we're, you know, regurgitating and blah. And it's all right. We need friends and we need pastors and we need a pastor and we need people that we can share with. But Jesus said, come to me. If you'll come to me instead of focusing on your problem, if you'll come to me instead of, you know, rehearsing your problem, if you'll come to me, I'll sort it out for you in your soul. You'll find rest for your souls if you'll come to me. You know, doctors will tell you, man, I've got patients that know their disease more than I do. And Jesus will tell you, and Pastor Greg will tell you, right now today, there are Christians today that know their problems more than they know their Lord. So full of the problem. So full of the sandpaper person that's bugging you. You know who that is. For me, it was the person who's come to me and said, Pastor. I don't know why I'm having all these problems. I want to say, I can tell you why. They have an eternal whine in their voice, you know what I mean? Did I over-exaggerate that enough? Praise God. But you know, some people are like that. And you're going to have, how many of you know we're not in heaven yet? Okay, so life isn't perfect yet. So God puts you in a world with imperfect people. Yeah? And that means, and there are, I call them EGRs, extra grace required. Do you know who that person is? All right, let me ask you a question. How many of you know who your EGR is? You know who they are? The rest of you, I'm going to have an altar call for liars in a minute. Okay, listen, guys. You've got to get your soul right regarding that person. They are your prayer project, not your problem. You don't want to pray them out of your life. You want to pray Jesus out of your life to flow through them, to minister to them, overcome evil with good. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. God, get them out of my life. Get that sandpaper EGR person out of my life. Jesus, you're praying for God to get them out of your life. Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father that you would manifest Him to them. Amen? And see, we get all stressed out, all burned out, all messed up in our soul because everything's not right and we want to straighten everything up out here, but Jesus wants everything straightened up in here. If your soul is going to prosper, we've got to come to Jesus with those things that we're tempted to be stressed out, worn out, burned out about. Come to Jesus. I said, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you say it's too much for me, Jesus said, I don't agree with you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. The question is, have you taken on more than what Jesus has given to you? Part of our problem, when you go to Jesus, when you finally go to Jesus, you're going to discover something. You know what that is? You've taken on more than He's given to you. You've taken on some things that men have asked you to do that Jesus didn't ask you to do. You're going to have to let those go. Well, what if I don't mean just drop it, and if you committed to something, don't just take this message and then go dump on somebody. Okay, that's not godly. If you made a commitment, you go to that person and let them know, listen, I can't do this anymore. I'm not just going to drop it in your lap. You know, you need to get a replacement for me, but I'll stick with it until you do. That's a godly thing to do. I'm telling you that because someone's going to have to do that. You're putting too much on yourself. You've taken on more than what the Lord's yoke is for you. Now, some people need to get before you. Some of you are going to get before the Lord, and you're going to find out there's some things that the Lord's asked you to do that you weren't willing to do. Like go to Bible college. Or something else. I don't know. Go out on the streets and witness. Whatever. I don't know what the Lord's telling you. I'm not going to tell you. You got to go to Him. He'll tell you. And then, Lord, all right, everything in my life, here's everything in my life. If you're all stressed out, burned out, how many of you have been feeling that way? Put your hand up. How many have been feeling that way? Well, I know. Man, there's a whole bunch of you. Okay? The answer is go to Jesus and lay it all at His feet and only pick back up what He tells you to pick up. And again, if he shows you something that you committed to that he didn't authorize in your life, that's fine. Just do the right thing. Don't just go and dump on that person and tell them, well, I can't do that anymore, and then just not show up. You just say, look, I'll stick with this till you find a replacement. How many of you know that's a godly thing to do? But still, the fact that you've got to go to Jesus, there was 200 hands, 150 hands that just raised a minute ago. There's a lot of people stressed out, burned out, and all this stuff. And I'm telling you, your answer is to come to Jesus. You've got to go to Jesus. And He may not reveal it to you right away. You've got to spend some time with Him. Spend some time in the Word. You've got to be willing to do anything, go anywhere that He tells you to do. How many of you want to know what the key to success in life is? How many of you want to be successful with your life? Okay, the key to success in your life is have a vibrant relationship with Jesus and do only what He asks you to do. No matter how little, no matter how seemingly insignificant or how great. You just be willing to do, Jesus, I'm yours. Say, I'm yours, Lord. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere that You ask me to do. You ask me to go. I belong to You. And when I do what You ask me to do, I'll not be burned out. I'll not be stressed out. Because Your yoke is easy. It's light. It's awesome. It's awesome. So we love this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Turn there. We love this verse, Jeremiah. And you know, young people quote this all the time, Jeremiah 29:11. Right? For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many of you know God has a future and a hope for you? He has a purpose for your life. And it's full of peace. It's full. That word peace means prosperity. Not you're not all wrought up. You're not all weighed down. You're not all burned out. True? Okay. But then we read that. But then he spoke that. But then nobody reads on to verse 12 and verse 13. Tells you how to find it. How many of you want God's will and plan for your life? How many of you want to find it? Okay. Here, verse 12 and 13 tells you. Then you will call upon me. That sounds like coming to Jesus, doesn't it? And you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me. Everybody say, seek Jesus. And you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I'll be found of you. Listen, guys, it's real easy. It's not hard. It's not difficult. We make the Christian life too hard. God's got a future. He's got a plan. He's got a hope for you. He's got a plan for your life. But here's the deal. Here's really the crux of the problem. Is we get before God and we say, Lord Jesus, come to me. Come to my plans. Come to my dreams. Come to my deal. Bless my little thing. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other thing. I want to be rich. I want to be famous. And I want no problems in life. Come to me, Jesus. Come to me, Jesus. Come to me, Jesus. Come to my little make-believe world, Jesus, and make it happen. It's a little, become my genie in the bottle, Jesus. What did Jesus say? Come to me. There's a whole lot of difference. Now look, I understand Jesus went with Jairus to heal his daughter. I'm not saying Jesus won't come to you to help you, but we're talking about your plans, your ideas, your deal, the thing that you've trying to, your little kingdom. Come to me, Jesus, and build my kingdom. Come to me, Jesus, and bless this. Come to me, Jesus, and do my thing. All the time, if you'd come to Jesus, you'd find out your little deal is a sandcastle. And what Jesus wants is something else. You come to Jesus, when you come to Jesus, it's not just coming to Jesus to beg him to do what you want him to do. But listen, when you mature, you understand that when you come to Jesus, he's planting his desires in your heart. And what he's really already put in your heart is his will, and he will fulfill that. But there are desires and dreams and whims of the flesh that you've got there, and they're sandcastles, and you got to let the wave of God's Spirit and Word annihilate that thing and knock it down, and just come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm a blank slate, and whatever you want to do with my life, that's what I'll let you do. And you know, it's dangerous when you start praying prayers like that. I prayed that prayer when I was in Houston, Texas. Lord, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. He said, okay, I want you to merge this church with another church, and then I want you to chill out for a while. And then when he finally started giving me direction, he called me to Decatur, Texas. You've heard of that megatropolis, haven't you? Decatur, Texas. I left 4.5 million people to 5,000. Didn't even know it was on the map. I thought God was sentencing me to anonymity. But you know, that's where I'm at, Pastor Bob Nichols, my pastor. That's where I'm at, Andrew Womack. That's where I'm at, Paul Milligan. That's where all of my... Decatur! You got to be kidding, right? Decatur. And now from Decatur, now I'm the Dean of Education at Caris Bible College. From Decatur. Right? Listen, I'm not trying to impress you that I'm something, or I'm not any more today than I was then. I've been beginning in my walk with God in 1976 when I got filled with the Spirit. We've just been Janice and I've just been coming to Jesus, coming to Jesus, coming to Jesus, coming to Jesus. And every day you come to Jesus, listen, he's going to refresh you. He's going to renew you. He's going to build you up. He's going to give you, revision you. He's going to bless you. He's going to show you new adventures. You're not going to be burned out. You're not going to be all messed up. You're not going to be worried about what somebody else has done and get focused on them. And that's part of our problem. We're trying to fix everybody else's stuff. Man, I can't even fix my own without coming to Jesus. Get your mind off other people's stuff. You don't know where they're at. You don't know what's going on. And furthermore, you do not know why they're dealing with what you're not walking in their shoes. So I might not have done it that way. I might not, but listen, you know what? I'm not responsible for them. And you know what? I'm going to come to Jesus and I'm going to pray for them. Travel light. In flight. Travel light. In flight. Travel light. In flight. When something bothers you that someone else does, I'm trying to help you here. When someone does something, says something, you know, didn't do something, whatever it is, travel light in flight with the Lord. Travel light and be like the eagle that soars above those problems and say, Father, bless that person. I pray for that person. I'm not judging that person. I don't know why they did what they did, but I can think I've probably done a few things that I don't even know why I did it. I'm not worried. I can't get stuck. I can't get stuck down here with the turkeys and fly with eagles. I bless the turkeys. God, change that turkey into an eagle. But I can't change that turkey into becoming an eagle if I'm acting like one. Turkey. Amen. You know what? Man, we got to travel light. I can't control what other people do. I can't control what they say. I can't control what they think about me. So many of you are so all wrought up in your soul because if someone said something or someone did something or you think they're thinking something about you. The truth is they're probably not thinking anything about you. Who do you think they're thinking about? Themselves. Listen, stop all this. Stop it. Stop all this garbage. And just come to Jesus. I can't control all that. I can't worry about all that. I can't. Lord, it doesn't matter. You know what matters? I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to find rest for my soul. And I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. I'm going to follow you. You know, too many times, guys, we're trying to get Jesus to come to our little deal, build our little kingdom. Look, here's the question. What's he asking you to do? What's he speaking to you to do? What's he put on your heart? The times that you spend with him in that intimate time. Are you willing to do something that's just seemingly insignificant like Janice and I going to Decatur, Texas? You know, Philip, I've shared this with you here before, but I need to share this example again. Philip was in the middle of revival in Samaria. God sent him to Samaria, the city of Samaria. Man, revival was breaking out. Signs and wonders were happening. People being saved. People being filled with the Spirit. The lame walking, the deaf hearing. There was great joy in the city. Many getting filled with the Spirit. All kinds of wonderful things. I mean, great revival happened in the middle of that. Can somebody who's a Bible student tell me that reads your Bible and knows your Bible in Acts chapter 8, can somebody tell me what happened after he was having a revival in the city? What did the Spirit ask him to do? Go to the desert. What? Jesus, go to desert. See, I'm on something here that you've got to get. See, we're trying to get Jesus to come to us to lift us up, bring us fame, bring us fortune, all this, but your soul's not prospering. You come to Jesus and do what he asks you to do. And he'll take care of the fame and the fortune. If you'll take care of your soul. How do you take care of your soul? Come to him. When you come to him, all right, Lord, I belong to you. What are we doing today? And so You know, Philip, as he did, his habit was, he went to the Lord every day, and all of a sudden he's in the middle of revival, and the Holy Spirit says, go to desert. Right. We're having revival, Lord. Man, the Jerusalem CBN is about to do a program on me. Man, I'm in the Jerusalem Post. They're doing a write-up on me. I've got my tape and CD series. Man, I mean, Lord, you know I can't leave that. How many of you would have left revival to go to desert? Don't lift your hand and incriminate yourself, or not lift your hand. But he left, he went, and who did he run into? Ethiopian eunuch. You know the rest of the story. He got baptized, he got saved, baptized, and Philip learned a new transport system. But do you know the rest of the story? The Paul Harvey. In the Dark Ages, between 500 AD and 950 AD, one of the only nations on the planet where the gospel was unhindered by government, guess where it was? Ethiopia. You can still go there today and see the remnant of the church that was vibrant at that time. God sent Philip from revival in a city to revive one man that revived a nation. Because he simply came to Jesus and did whatever he told him to do. What's he asking you to do? What's he put on your heart? Too many times we gauge it by how well people will know us, and whether my name is in lights, whether I'm going to make a lot of money. And so, you know, my wife and I left a very successful business in Houston, Texas, a large wholesale florist business. We could go out and pay cash for things. We could have bought a house for cash. We bought vehicles for cash. I mean, we gave a lot to the ministry. And then I'm coming to the Lord. It can be dangerous going to the Lord on your plans. I went to the Lord and I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. And our business was a high cash flow business. I was counting money one day, and I heard this old Peggy Lee song, "Is That All There Is?" And I knew exactly what he was saying. I have more for you than just this business and you counting money. And so we followed all, left Jesus, left our business, went to Bible college, came back, started a church in Houston, Texas, a city of 4.5 million, and we birthed a mega church there that grew from 14 to 40 in 3 years. You heard of it, right? Man, I had all these dreams, all this stuff going on. Man, I left everything. Left everything, Paul. Left everything. And then I'm making $125 a week. I can't even buy my kids ice cream when the ice cream truck comes by. Man, I mean, so I pulled up to our church one day, and I mean, we might have 75 on an Easter. We have 40 or 50 people. And so I couldn't get out of the car because it was raining so hard in Houston. I mean, I couldn't even get out of the car. And so I've started praying a prayer of whining to God and complaining. God, I left all to follow you. And here I am in Houston, Texas, a city of bazillion people. And I got 40 little sheep. 40 little sheep. Man, I'd let my soul get, I was getting, let, let myself get burned out. My soul was just all wrought up. God, you know, I'm meant for more than this. The Lord finally said, "Are you done?" When the Lord asks you, "You're done," you're probably done. I said, "I guess so." And he said, "If all I sent you here for And he named this one man's name. And God had totally radically changed his life. He had a potty mouth and he was, you know, just verbally abusive to his family. God had radically changed his life. And he said, if all I sent you here for is what I've done in this one man, is that enough for you? No. Yes, Lord. And he said, and then he spoke, he said, I would send someone across the globe to minister to one of your children. He didn't say anything else. And I just, in my soul, I settled down into my call. Because it wasn't about me being famous. I knew in a heartbeat, he's telling me, I'm going to take care of you. And whatever I want for you, but you settle down into what I've sent you here. You settle down into this, and then I'll prosper it. I'll bless you. I'll increase you, and you're not going to be all wrought up with all this. I don't have to promote myself. All I've got to do is come to Jesus, get in His presence, and obey Him. Obey Him. I said, obey Him. Whatever He tells, that's success, guys. It's not coming up with the greatest and latest marketing plan, and I'm not against marketing in the church. I'm just saying, you make sure that marketing came out of a time with Jesus. We're trying to make our lives fit in and conform to something that may not even be Jesus at all. Jesus, and you're all wrought up. You're all. You know, trying to fix it, and then you end up becoming a Lucy leech. You know what a Lucy leech is? You ever watch I Love Lucy? She's manipulating all the time, pushing her way into areas that she doesn't belong. There's a lot of Christians like that, trying to get the pastor to do your little deal. Really, what you want is you want the pastor to promote you beyond what your grace is. And platform you in an area, just, you know why? Look, in 1 Corinthians 12, when it says the ear says to the eye, I'm not going to be part of the body if I can't be the eye. The foot says to the hand, if I can't be the hand, I'm not going to be part of the body. You know what the deal is there? What's the difference between the foot and the hand, the ear and the eye, besides their function? Why would the ear want to be the eye, the foot want to be the hand? The issue is visibility. You see my eye, you're not looking at my ears. You see my hands, you don't see my feet. Right? So the issue is visibility. Do you know why people push to get on the platform? They have a soul problem. Your soul's not prospering trying to promote yourself. Your soul's not prospering trying to go out and be rich and famous. Your soul's not, you know how your soul's going to prosper? You come to Jesus. And in whatever Jesus tells you to do, that's what you do. You do no more, you do no less. Jesus told you to come here, just be a good little sheep. Everybody say, bah. Say, I'm a good sheep. I'm a good sheep, just bah. A good sheep, yes, Pastor, good sheep, yes, Charlie, good sheep, yes, Dan, good sheep, you know, yes, Paul, good sheep, you know, whoever your leader is here, you just do, you know, you don't want to be a goat, do you? No, goat, here's a goat. I love my pastor, but I love my husband, but the goat's butting everything around. You know why? They're trying to promote themselves. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, the reason why your soul's all wrought up, the reason why your soul's not prospering, therefore, you are not the byproduct of a prosperous soul, according to 3 John 2, is that you're going to prosper, you're going to be in health. The reason why souls here are not prospering is why souls all over the world are not prospering. We're not coming to Jesus. It's just real simple. Just come to Jesus. Jesus, whatever you want me to do, that's what I do. Whatever I've taken up and committed to that didn't come from you, I'm going to let it go. But I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it godly. Are you listening to me? And I'm telling you, you're not going to be all bent out of shape. You're not going to be all wrought up. You're not going to be all burned out. You're not going to be all stressed out. You can't be stressed out following Jesus. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. One more passage. Is this okay? One more passage and we're done. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is the story of Martha and Mary and Martha. Verse 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. That word also means what? In addition to. So what does that mean? It means that not only Mary had been sitting at his feet, but Martha had and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? What does that phrase left me mean? That Mary had been with her serving. So the issue wasn't the fact that Martha hadn't been sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word. The fact wasn't that Martha hadn't been in church. And the issue wasn't that Mary hadn't been serving in church at all. Are you listening to me? You see that? But Martha was distracted with much service. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, and that's what we're doing in our prayers, a lot of manipulative prayers. Lord, speak to someone to come help my ministry. No, we want to pray, God, release people to hear from you, to come to you and hear from you and do what you tell them to do, and that only. And if they're not supposed to be with me, I don't want them with me. You don't want someone just because they're a warm body. You want somebody that God's called at sitting at Jesus' feet where he speaks to them to serve. You don't just want somebody that God didn't send there. Are you with me? And Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, thank you for straightening me out. I'm glad that you told me that Mary hadn't been serving. Mary, you go serve Martha right now and leave the word. Is that what Jesus said? Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. Your soul right now, Martha, is not prospering. You're worried and troubled. Where would she be worried and troubled at? In her spirit? In her body? Well, yeah, but where did it start? In her soul. Worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, amen, which will not be taken from her. Here's the issue, guys. The issue is, this is a picture of two different types of Christian. One whose soul was prospering and one who's not. The focus of this scripture lesson here is not about pitting devotion against duty. Because verse 39, as already mentioned, tells us that Martha also sat at Jesus' feet. Verse 40 tells us that Mary had also served. This is a lesson about how priorities and focus affect the condition of your soul. Priorities and focus. Now, we are about to land. But I could touch down and take off again if you don't listen. This is a critical part of our flight right here. And it depends on you. This is a lesson about how priorities and focus affect the condition of your soul. It wasn't that Mary didn't serve at all, and it wasn't that Martha hadn't been sitting at Jesus' feet at all. It had to do with Mary's focus and priorities and Martha's focus and priorities. And Jesus has given us a description here. One of these, their soul is prospering, and they're going to receive the word, and one of them is not. And the word that they had received is going to be taken away. What was the difference? The difference was Martha was distracted by her serving and by her anger and envy of her sister. And Jesus said that caused her to be worried and troubled about many things. You getting focused on other people and what they're doing or not doing, or God, why are you blessing that one and you're not blessing me, and all this stuff, you know, getting your focus on, you know, that's going to take you down the wrong road. Her soul was not prospering, which ultimately would lead to financial trouble and physical problems if 3 John 2 is true. Are you listening to? Listen, I am laser focused in on somebody right now. You are the quintessential Martha. And you could be in a male body. And you're doing all this stuff. You come to every meeting or most every meeting. You're wondering why. You're tithing, you're giving, and you're wondering why it's not working. Because your priorities are out of order. And your focus is on the wrong. Her focus was on Mary. Her focus is on Mary being blessed and not serving just like she did. Her focus wasn't on Jesus. It was on the beans she was fixing. And what wasn't going to get done. Jesus was in her house, but not the focus of her attention. And that's the condition of many Christians today. Jesus is in the house, but where's your focus? Where's your priorities? Mary chose, and then Jesus said, one thing is needed. You know what that one thing is? Coming to Jesus. With our attention focused on Him, not on one another, not on our problems. And Mary chose that as a priority in her life. And when your focus and your attention is truly on Him. Now I understand, listen guys, I go through stuff just like you do. People ask me to. I have a lot of students and a lot of responsibility, and people demand, and people want this, and people want that. But I'm telling you, you can't take from me your wants and your urgency and your crisis. I cannot afford to let that take me from coming to Jesus. And you know what else? I won't. You know why? You're important to me, but you're not more important than Jesus to me. And I'm not going to let your problem or my problem create a bigger problem in my soul. I'm going to fly light. Amen? I'm going to soar like an eagle. I'm going to stay free from pressures and stress and all this stuff. I'm not going to let your problem become stuck in my soul. I'm not going to let what you're doing or not doing or what's happening around me. I can't do that. You know what I do? I come to Jesus, and I know exactly how it is. It's like I come to Jesus, and many times I'm struggling with something, and it's like sticky flypaper. I get it off of one hand, and it's on the other. But that's the deal. I come to Jesus until my focus is not my problem, and then it it's off of me. And it's not weighing me down anymore. Come to Jesus. When you come to Jesus, the word that you're receiving will bear fruit. But if you're like Martha, it's going to cause your soul to weigh so down And you become like the ground in Mark chapter 4, that you become so wrought up with the cares of this life that it chokes out the word. Do you know the cares of this life can choke out the word? Now we have landed. So you've done a great job of listening. But now, what are you going to do with this? Everyone here has the potential to take on that Mary heart and to be that kind of soul. Or you can leave this place just like you were. No change. With the Martha syndrome. You're giving, you're serving, you're doing all this stuff, but you're not prospering and you're not in health. Your choice. Your choice. They did a study of the Century Club about 10 years ago. You know what the Century Club is? Those that have made it to 100 years. They did a study trying to find the scarlet thread between these people, several thousand that had made it to 100. Why? How did you get here? How did you make it to 100? And here's what they found out. Had nothing to do with diet. Had nothing to do with exercise. Had nothing to do with what they drank, what they ate, what they smoked, or what they didn't. You know what the scarlet thread was? How they learned to manage stress in their lives. Jesus said, if you're burdened down, if you're weary, if you're weighed down, if you're dealing with all these problems like Martha, come to me. Just come to me. Come to me. When you come to me, lay it all at my feet. All the things that you can't sort out, all the things that you can't work out, all of your sandpaper people, all of your EGRs, all of the other stuff, all of the things, your vision and your dream, but lay it at my feet. I'll give you rest. I will give you rest for your souls. When you find rest for your soul, you're going to prosper and you're going to be in health. Amen? Amen. If that's you, just say, yes, Lord, that's me. Just lift your hand. Just say, that's me, Lord. I'm coming to you, Jesus. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him. Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Father, we worship You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Word to change our lives, Father. Transform us. We've been trying. We've been struggling. We've been straining. We've been praying. God, take this from me. And all You want us to do is come to You and lay it before You. If God's speaking to your heart right now, you've been worried. You've been weighed down. You've been stressed. You've been overwrought with and just on the verge of burnout. Any of these things. God's speaking to you today. Just stand up and say, Lord, I come to You. I come to You. I lay it down. Jesus, I'm coming to You. I'm not going to try to sort it out. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I can't fix everything, but I can come to You. I can come to You. I can come to You. I'm coming to You today, Jesus. come to Jesus. I know you're born again. I'm not asking for you to be born again again. I'm just saying come to Jesus. Lay it down. Lay it down. Lay that burden down. Lay that care down. Lay that weight down. Say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. Now, Father, I pray for every person that's responded today, every person that's standing. Father, you know their hearts. They're truly responding to you. And I'm asking you, Father, to do more than just what has happened in terms of them responding by standing. Father, I'm asking you to give them the courage and the strength, Father, and the passion and the desire to daily come to you with these things that have been weighing them down, these things that have been trying to stick in their soul. And I pronounce over you a prosperous soul in the name of Jesus. I pronounce over you freedom from that burden, freedom from that weight, freedom from that anxiety, freedom from the spirit of fear and worry and dread in Jesus' name. I break that off of you in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to reward them as they come to you. Reward them with your presence. I'm telling you that you've been having someone here has been having stomach problems, internal problems. Some of you have been having arthritic problems. Someone's having diabetic problems in the natural. All kinds of physical ailments are being healed now because the life that's in your spirit is able to flow through your soul to affect your body because you're laying it at Jesus' feet. You're laying it at His feet. You're laying it at His feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for freedom. All kinds of things being set in order here today. He's setting it in order. Praise God. Rhonda, He's setting it in order for you. Gee, I just feel the compassion of the Lord towards you. Janice, go over there and lay your hands on Rhonda. I just feel the compassion of the Lord towards you. You know, you haven't been talking about it. You haven't been sharing it. You haven't been telling other people. But Jesus is sorting that out for you right now. He's sorting it out for you. Hallelujah. Now listen, guys. It's not just, everybody look up here at me. It's not just coming to Jesus. But it's letting Him show you that thing that you've been overwrought about. That thing that you've been focusing too much on. That thing that you've been even worry-warting God in prayer about. And then He's going to show you where to turn your focus, which is Him and His Word. But then listen, you've also got to listen to what it is that He's downloading in you and showing you to do. And you just be faithful to that. Say, thank you, Lord, for those Holy Spirit downloads. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. No more. No less. I'll lay aside those things that did not initiate from you. Show me what they are. And if I have to lay them down, I'll do it in a godly way. I won't leave people hanging. In Jesus' name. Then I'll do what you tell me, whether I get any acknowledgement or not. Whether I'm compensated or not, whether I'm appreciated or not, whether I'm recognized or not. In Jesus' name. Father, I set your people free to just do what you've called them to do. I free them, Father, from this weight and this burden. I free them, Father, from the stuff that the enemy's tried to do to block, put a blockage in their soul. I set them free to be a prosperous soul in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's praise Him. Come on, let's praise Him. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We worship you. Now, you know, on a practical level, We're done and we're going to let you go. But on a practical level, I want to encourage you in your times with him. Lauren, he's going to be downloading some things in you. I want to encourage you to journal and put a date by it. As you go before him, he's going to say, you know, you've been doing this and this and this. I didn't call you to do that. Or he's going to say, I've been trying to get you to think about this. To go to Israel or go here. Go. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to try to tell you. But I want when you know that God's downloading something in you that ministers peace, that you know it's, you know, you've got confidence about it, I want you to write it down. And I want you just to focus on him, your relationship with him, and in just doing what he told you to do. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Is that good? Yeah. Is that good? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, tonight I'll be picking back up here with some talk about some other things about a prosperous soul. Charlie, bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. If I could ask you to hold steady just for a moment, please. We want to sow into the ministry of Pastor Greg and Janice Moore, so we're going to put the offering buckets here on the platform. And if you'd like to sow in that ministry, be a part of it, 100% of this offering will go to bless Pastor Greg and Janice Moore. We would appreciate that. Make your checks payable to Calvary Cathedral International, or you can use one of the offering envelopes. And then we will be right back here tonight at 6:30. Look forward to seeing you then. Once you bring your offerings down to the front, you are dismissed. God bless you. Go with God. See you tonight.